this evening. We thank you for the blessing of your word, Lord, and how you speak into our lives, Lord. We thank you for this study on strength this week, Lord, and ask that you would just reveal more and more to us of where our strength truly should come from, Lord, and what we should look like because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we looked at our virtuous woman this week, in verse 17, it says, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. And so we see the next character trait of this woman, and it is strength. And as we have said all along, this is an inward character that manifests itself outwardly. And as we tore this verse apart this week, we saw that this actually, it speaks of strength twice in this one verse, where it says she girds herself with strength, and then the second time it says she strengthens her arms. The first strength talks about a physical strength, and the second strength talks about that inner strength that talks about courage and boldness and preparedness, if that's even a word, but being prepared for what lies ahead. And so this actually speaks of to the inner coming out in the outward. And as we get into this and we talk about strength, we see that this woman girds herself with strength. It's an action. Last week, or last time we got together, we talked about how this woman is active in bringing these character traits about in her life. And here we see it again. She's taking an action. She's physically girding herself with strength. And in the time that this was written, people wore long garments that went down to the ground. And if they were going out to work in the fields or for whatever task they may have, and last time we got together, we saw that she had bought a field and she prepared it, she planted it, she grew a vineyard. What she would do is she would have this belt that she would put around her waist, and they would bring up that garment and they would tuck it into that belt. And that's what girding is, so that they could then go about and do their business. Otherwise, they'd be tripping over this garment, or it would, you know, would be all dirty in the ground and stuff. So it's a physical putting on this belt. And that's what we need to do. We need to be putting on strength. And we need to know where that strength comes from. Because we as women need to be careful, because we can put on a strength that we shouldn't put on. We need, we can be very strong, almost to a fault. We can be very capable in the tasks that the Lord gives us to do. We can become very secure in our capabilities. We might be very intellectual. We might read a lot. We might have a lot of head knowledge. I have a bachelor's degree in early childhood education. I have a bachelor's degree in art. Graduated from college magna cum laude. You know, I had almost a 4.0, you know, and we can become very secure in our knowledge, and that can become a strength for us to a fault. And in our knowledge of the word, we can come to a place of a maturity where we need to be careful, because we can think we're better than others because maybe I know a little more than you. Or even in our marriages, I might be here at a place and my husband might be here. Or, you know, and we can say, you know, we can get out of balance there. So we need to be very careful because as women, we like to take that spot. It can lead to pride. It can lead to being strong-willed, and there's that strength in a place that we don't want to have it. We don't want to be following our will. We want to be following God's will for our lives. We can become domineering. And, you know, last year when we moved down to Elmira, Fred moved the kids and I down here. We rented a house on Johnson Street, and he went back and forth, and probably more than half the week he stayed in Rochester so he could work at Webster. So I was here by myself, because he wasn't here. I had to take some of his place, the discipline, the daring stuff, and, you know, I became a very capable woman at running the household without my husband here. And so when he finally moved down, there was a little bit of butting heads at first because I was playing some of his role, you know. And so we had to do some readjusting while I then went from this place in the house back down to the place that God intends the wife to be. Because we can outmaneuver, we can overshadow, we can overpower, and we can overstep our husbands if we're not careful. And the result of doing those things is a home that's out of order. And I wanted to take a look at Genesis chapter 2 for a bit here.
The order that God actually intends for our home as we become this virtuous woman that God intends us to be. And we're going to start in verse 15 of chapter 2. And it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." So here we see this incredible act of creation by God. He's created man. He's created all the animals. And, you know, here he's bringing them in pairs to Adam. And Adam's noticing something here. There's a boy animal, there's a girl animal, and they go together, and they make a pretty nice pair. And here comes the boy bird, and here comes the girl bird, and they're the same, and they make a pretty nice pair. And then he brings, you know, another one, and another one, and another one, until finally he's named them all, and then he's looking at himself going, "Wait a minute, two, 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 one." And, you know, and God says, "You know what, it's not good for you to be alone. I have a plan. I'm going to make a helper." And what does he call it? Comparable to you. And so, what does he do in verse 21? "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his mother, or his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" So God shows Adam that it's not good for him to be alone. He's going to make somebody who's comparable to him. He takes a rib out of Adam and closes up that flesh. He doesn't fill that spot. He just closes it up. He takes that rib, and out of that rib he makes the woman, and he brings that woman to Adam. And she has that missing piece of him, and they become one. She has that piece of him that was gone, and the two become one. And God calls her his helpmeet. She's to come alongside and help him. When we're a helper, he has one role, and we come along to say, "What do you need? How can I, you know, help this process," or whatever you need. He was in this garden to tend it and keep it, and she comes alongside to help. And that's our role, is we're to come and be our husband's helper. We see this unfolded more in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks a little bit more about the woman, and we see the woman's role a little bit more in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. It says, "Wives, Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. And so we see that the husband's role is to be the head. And so in our strength, we cannot overstep God's plan for our homes, because it goes all out of order if we do that. And that can bring chaos and confusion and strife into our homes. And there's scripture after scripture about the contentious wife and what happens and how that makes the husband feel like he wants to go to the corner of the rooftop. And we don't want to do that, because we can be so strong and we can be so capable. We need to be careful of our own strength. We need to make sure that we're putting on strength, but that strength comes from the right place, that it's the strength of the Lord. And again, if we look at verse 17 in Proverbs 31, it says, she girds herself with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And again, we see that it's an action to be strong here. This is something that she is putting on. It's a choice that she makes. This isn't God doing this work in her life. She is girding herself with strength. And she strengtheneth her arms. Yes, it's the Lord's strength that she's putting on, but she has a choice to make. Each one of us has a choice to make as to whether we are going to spend time with the Lord and be strengthened through his word, be strengthened through praise, be strengthened through fellowship, be strengthened through Bible study. It's a choice that we make. This woman made that choice to do that. She also, we know, we saw her a couple of weeks ago being likened to a merchant ship. A ship is a big, strong vessel that bringing food from afar. And we talked about how she was providing good food, good nourishment for her family. And we talked about the spiritual side of that, that she was pouring into her family's life spiritually what her family needs, but also physically she's providing good, healthy food for her families. And what are we doing with our bodies? Are we pouring in junk, or are we trying to be healthy? Are we trying to provide ourselves with healthy meals? Are we providing our family with healthy meals? And again, you guys know I am a woman of convenience and I enjoy the drive-thru a lot, but I need to be careful. Am I, feeding my family three good meals a day? Am I making sure that there's fruit and vegetables in our home? Am I making sure that there's good things to drink? Or are we living on soda and chips, because there's a difference. One of those is going to create a healthy being, and one of those is going to create a being that's depleted of the nutrients that it needs to survive. And the same, and spiritually, are we providing ourselves, or are we providing our family with the nutrients to be strong, or are we providing a so-so meal to ourselves and to our family? For me, I don't know about you, but for me, I have a rule that before my feet hit the floor, I spend time with the Lord. Because as soon as before my feet hit the floor, I'm already thinking about my day. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? And if I let my feet hit the floor, I'm doing those things. And, I'll get back to the Word. Oh, I'll get back to my devotions. I'll get back to that. But guess what? It rarely ever happens. Sometimes I even get them out and I set them down, lay them out on my bed or whatever. I'll come back. When Jonathan goes to nap, I'll come back or whatever. And I go to bed that night, and guess what? They're still sitting there waiting. Haven't had the nourishment for the day. And guess what? It's usually a day where I'm like going, we can tell when we're undernourished that there's something going on. We're weak. We can become weak. So we need to be careful of that. And we do need to take care of our physical bodies, because It talks about in Corinthians that we are the temple of the living God. It says, know ye not that you're the temple of the living God? Don't you know this? Take care of this vessel. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little. It is good for us to exercise and take care of this vessel. But that's not the most important thing for us to do. It says, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So we want to be strengthening ourselves physically, because when we're weak physically, it is hard to take care of the needs that we have, to take care of ourselves, to do our job, to take care of our family. You know, if maybe the Lord's called you to take care of friends. Maybe you have a job where you're taking care of other people all the time. And if you're weak and run down, you're not going to be able to do that at your best. So we do need to take care of these physical bodies, but it says that godliness is profitable for all things. And so we want to be putting on godliness, strengthening ourselves in godliness. And how do we do that? By spending time with Him, by knowing who He is and who He wants us to be. We got to spend time with Him so that we know how to be like Him. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, you know, our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I don't know about you, but I can tell the outward man is perishing. You know, it's tough, and we see all around us things happening with our loved ones, with friends, with family. You know, my mom going through her cancer, Tom with the leukemia. There's a lot, you know, we probably had half our body here on Sunday because of one form of sickness or another. And I was telling you about Jonathan now, and it's like, you know, just one thing after another going on that, you know, this outward man, it is perishing. And that's from the fall of man, you know. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. And how is it renewed day by day? By being in the Word, by being with the Savior. And this renewed means given new strength. So day by day, if you're spending time with Him, you are going to be strengthened. And so where do we find this strength? By looking to Jesus. And I want to spend almost the remainder of this time looking at Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, we are going to see what happens when our strength comes through the flesh, and what happens when our strength comes through the Lord. The first 9 verses shows us what it looks like if we're walking in our own strength. So chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so when we were walking in our own strength without the Lord, there was some pretty nasty stuff that could come into our lives. And if you look at this list, you may say, well, I didn't do that. But if you really look at some of it, we probably did most of this list. And if not physically, physically in a spiritual way. We probably did. But there's some pretty bad stuff on this list. Fornication, and we know that in the Word, God says, if you've thought it, you've done it. So we need to be careful of our thoughts. And outside of the Lord, there's some pretty bad stuff maybe that we watch on TV or, you know, magazines or things on the computer. There's some pretty bad stuff we can be thinking about. But this is when we walk in the flesh, in our own strength, without Christ. Evil desire, uncleanness, idolatry, anything that we put above or ahead of the Lord in our life is idolatry. And he says, because of these things, wrath is coming upon. And it says the sons of disobedience. It's disobedience in our life when we walk in our own strength. And it even will come out in anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying one to another. So we need to put off those deeds of the old man, the stuff that we did in our own strength, in the flesh. But instead, going on in verse 10, it says, and we have put on the new man who is renewed. There's that word again. And we said renewed is given new strength, where we are renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so we want to look like Jesus. We want to look like his image. We want his character to be coming out in our lives. And if we are walking in his strength, now here comes the list of what can be coming out of our life. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to man. Wow, that's quite a list. But if we're in Christ and he's empowering us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We can be kind. We can be merciful. Humility. There's no way we can be humble without the strength of God, because pride is going to rear its ugly head and we're going to feel pretty good about ourselves. But humility, bearing with one another, you know, long-suffering, being patient, forgiving, just as we've been forgiven, putting on love, letting the peace of God rule in our lives, and that's a tough thing to do. It's an action. We have to let it happen, because it's our nature to strive, you know, to want our way. But let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And be thankful. Thankfulness is something that will come out of our lives if we're walking in the strength of the Lord. And how is this going to happen? Verse 16, by the word of Christ dwelling in you, his wisdom, his teaching. Doing what we have to do in the name of the Lord, seeking to glorify him. And it's going to come out in our submitting to our husbands as to the Lord. Bond servants, willingly were slaves to their masters. There comes a year where all slaves during Bible times were set free. But if they loved their masters and wanted to stay with their masters, they became their bondservant. And a symbol of that was their ears were tagged. And they became that master's servant forever. And it was because that master treated them well. And so they stayed and they worked for them. And we are bondservants of the Lord. And so we're going to obey all things that he asks of us. Not with eye service or so that man sees us and says, good job, but so that the Lord is pleased and glorified. In sincerity of heart, it says. And why? Because we fear God. We reverence him. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it strong. Do it well. As to the Lord and not to men. And verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. We talked about that once before. Who do we serve? We serve the Lord. And that's why we do what we do. And we should never forget that. And so, we want to spend time in his word. We want to spend time with him daily so that we can be putting on these things, just like the woman girds herself with strength. She's putting on the strength, and there's no other way to do that but by putting on Christ. We need to be in his word so we can see this list of qualities that he wants coming out of our lives, to be strengthened by him in his word. And verse 16, other ways to be strengthened, it says, through teaching, through admonishing one another. So we can share with one another, guess what the Lord has done in my life? Oh, look at this. He showed me this today. But also in Psalms, we know that Psalms, most of it was written in music. We can be strengthened through songs. And hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your heart. Maybe you don't have the best voice in the world, but we can be singing in our heart because God puts a melody in our heart to sing praises to him. And I don't know about you, but I can be pretty glum and pretty discouraged. But if I put on some praise music and I start singing to him, there's all of a sudden my eyes come off of me and they're on him. It's off of the circumstances. And my whole demeanor can change from that downcast to all of a sudden my head is lifted and the hands that are hanging down are raised by him, by singing praises to him and remembering all that he's done in my life. And that's why he tells us to do that, because it takes our eyes from us and puts them back where they belong. And why? Because we fear God. Not because we're afraid of God, but because we reverence him. We know that he's a powerful, awesome God, and we're thankful for all that he's done, and because we serve him. And so we need to be asking ourselves, what am I doing, and why am I doing it? Am I doing it for myself? Am I seeking a position? Am I doing it in my own strength, or am I doing it in the strength of the Lord? We need to be asking him daily to fill us with his spirit so that we can be walking in his ways and the fruit of the spirit. I want to look at some scriptures that specifically talk about strength. And I don't know about you guys, but I like to go to my concordance sometimes and just look up a word and see how many times a word might show up. And this is just a partial snippet. They can't put every single verse in here, but just listen to some of these as I look through my concordance. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. So there we see strength and song together again. We can be strengthened. We can be ministered to through song, through praise. Second 2 Samuel 22:33, it is God who arms me with strength. So there we have it, straight. It's God who gives us strength. That's the strength we want in our lives. 1 Chronicles 16:11, look to the Lord in his strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 18:1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. So here we see protection and strength together. He is going to shield us. He's going to be our refuge from the storm. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 73:26, but God is the strength of my heart. Psalm 84:5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. We're blessed if that's where our strength comes from, if it comes from the Lord and not from ourselves. Again, Psalm 105:4, look to the Lord in his strength. Again, the Lord repeats himself sometimes, so we should be listening. Psalm 118:14, the Lord is my strength and my song. Again, remember, we can be strengthened through song, through worship, through praising him. And again, that one is repeated in Isaiah 12:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. Isaiah 40:31, he will renew their strength. So, are you giving out strength? Are you weak because you're pouring out, you're pouring out, you're pouring out? Guess who we go to be renewed? And remember, we said that renewed is being given new strength. He's going to renew that. He's going to fulfill it. If you're pouring out for him, you're doing the task that he wants you to be doing, guess what? He's going to be pouring back in. Habakkuk 3:19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. First Corinthians 1:25, God is stronger than man's strength. Isn't that good to know? I want his strength and not mine. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Isaiah 35:3, he strengthens the feeble hands. For Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, may he strengthen your heart. Hebrews 12:12, he's going to strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. We sang that tonight. You know, quiet my mind, raise up my hands that are hanging down, strengthen my feeble knees. And he's going to do that if we cry out to him, because he's faithful and he hears. And it's in our weakness that he strengthens us and makes us strong. And it's okay to tell him, I'm weak, Lord. I'm struggling in this. I'm spent. And he's going to come alongside and he's going to fill you. And he's going to lift you up. And he's going to raise up those hands and he's going to be the lifter of your head. But cry out to him. He's a good God. He's a God who loves and who wants to be our strength. And we need to be strong, because the days we live in are evil. And I have two devotions that I want to share. I have this little flip one that is a woman after God's own heart by Elizabeth George. And This one is straight scripture, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is one thing the enemy wants to do, and that is to destroy us, to destroy our walk with the Lord. But if we are strong in Him, this is what Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We need to stay in Him, remain in Him, be strong in Him, so that we can have the abundant life that He desires each one of us to have. So the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling that lately. And I'm hearing it from others. He's after me like a hound, like that roaring lion seeking to devour. And we're seeing some crazy things happen in people's lives. And it is nothing but the enemy wanting to destroy. So we need to make sure that we are girding ourselves with strength to walk in these days. Then I have this devotional. It's new. I love it. It's by Debbie Bryson. And it has Debbie Bryson. She is out in California. But it follows the one-year Bible, and this is completely 365 devotions out of the Proverbs alone. And it's very good. And today talks about the steps of temptation. And this is Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 10, and then verses 23 and 22. It sounds like I'm reading a story here, but this comes straight from Scripture. It says, I was looking out the window, and out of my house one day, I saw a simple-minded young man who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. He was strolling down the path by her house at twilight. As the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, the woman approached him, dressed seductively and sly of heart. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter, or like a trapped stag awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. Again, that's Proverbs 7, 6 through 10, and 22 and 23. And you may say, oh, come on, Karen, that's talking about a man. And a woman being seduced. We need to be careful because these words can speak to us as well, because we can easily be seduced by sin. This is where Debbie comes in now and speaks to these verses. It says, oh, the fatal mistake of crossing the street. We are sadly mistaken if we think that we fall into temptation all at once. No, most of the time it begins small and subtle. It's not the first look that trips us up. It's the lingering look that becomes the longing look. Then there is an action that takes us dangerously near. Before we know it, just like the foolish man described in the proverb, we are becoming trapped and snared. Whether it's the chocolate cake on the counter, or the R-rated movie on your TV, or the bottle of alcohol in the cupboard, it only takes one moment of weakness for us to cross the street. It's like a magnet. The closer we get, the harder it is to resist. Why do we need to be strengthened? So we can resist. What is God's advice? Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. Shake the magnet pull by turning around and walking away. Be strong in the Lord, because the tempter is strong. The enemy is seeking to devour and destroy. And then there's a section that says, make it personal, live it out. One final word to us as mothers and friends. Sometimes we allow something questionable into our homes or lives because we feel it may never tempt us or trap us. But we must remember that a weak friend or a vulnerable teenager might use our liberty as an excuse to cross the dangerous line that they can't resist. I urge you to adopt Paul's advice in Romans 14:21. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. This is truly love and wisdom in action. We need to be very careful what we fool around with, or what we bring into our homes, what we bring into our lives that we may think as nothing. You know, like she was saying, sin doesn't happen usually all at once. We were talking, we were on our way to school one day, you know, and there's been some horrible things in the news lately. And Noah asked me, why do you think people murder people? I said, no, it doesn't happen overnight. Somehow, way back, maybe there was a thought or there was an action that made the person angry. And guess what? They didn't forgive it. They didn't let go. They didn't, you know. And then a root started, a root of bitterness. And what do roots do? They grow down and they get bigger and they get stronger. And I don't know about you. I'm out in my garden sometimes and there are these weeds that are, they look teeny tiny. And when I go to dig them out, man, they're huge. And I, you know, and they break off. But guess what? That root is still in there, you know. And so, like it's a snowball. It starts with maybe just a little seed of anger over here. But then it grows and it grows and it grows. And eventually, this person has killed somebody. And then they're saying, how did I get here? Well, it's the same as sin. Well, you know, I like this magazine. And there's only, I don't look at that page, you know. I don't read the ads. I don't read, you know, so it's okay for it to be in my home. And then you're flipping through and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then all of a sudden you might leave that page open. And then all of a sudden you're reading the ad. And then all of a sudden you're believing something that you shouldn't believe. Or, you know, it happens subtly. It happens a little at a time. And so we need to be strengthened daily to resist that stuff, to resist the tempter when he comes in. And so my encouragement to you tonight is to gird yourself with strength daily. And if it needs to be before your feet hit the floor, do it before your feet. There you go again. Before your feet hit the floor, do it. This woman, again, it said, she girds herself with strength. It was a choice that she made, and it's a choice that we make. Am I going to be strong in my flesh and in myself and my capabilities, or am I going to be strong in him and his ways and who he really wants me to be? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your encouragement this evening, Lord, to walk in your ways and in your strength, Lord. We don't ever want to walk in our own strength, Lord, in the ways of the flesh, Lord, because we see that it can lead to destruction, Lord. And we want to look more and more like you, Lord. These days are evil, and we want to walk strong in you, Lord, and not to be led away by any snare of the devil, Lord. We don't want to be devoured or destroyed because of his tactics, Lord. So may we daily remain in you, Lord. May we seek you early in the morning and late at night, Lord, and throughout our days, Lord. Would you be writing your word on our hearts, Lord, that we might not sin against you, Lord, and so we can be strong. And when we are weak, Lord, and our hands are hanging down, when we have feeble knees, Lord, would you be the strength of our life? In Jesus' name, amen.